From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. There's a lot of things we humans have added to our Oregon coastal environment that causes damage. Plastics, chemicals, more and more fishing boats, and more heat in the form of climate change. But there's also something we've removed from our coast that has negatively impacted that ecosystem for over a century, sea otters. While they still exist down in California and up in Washington, we don't have any, and their absence hurts so many other species under the waves. Today on Oregon on the Record, you'll hear from an organization called the Alaka Alliance that wants to bring the sea otters back. The Alliance is an interesting mix of conservationists, tribal members, and nonprofit leaders, but their goal is singular: reestablish this keystone species so that both the otters and the entire Oregon coastal marine environment can once again thrive. There's cute, there's really cute, and then there are sea otters. Yet their adorable appearance couldn't save those who lived along the Oregon coast from extermination a century ago. Today on the show, we'll talk with an organization that is working hard to bring the otters back, both for their own good and the good of the entire coast. Jane Beccari and Chanel Hasen with the Alaka Alliance, thanks to you both for coming on and chatting.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. We're pleased to be here.
Jane, I'm going to start with you. Why don't you tell us, tell us about the Alaka Alliance and what do you all do?
Sure. So the Alaka Alliance is an Oregon-based nonprofit organization. We were incorporated in 2018, but our origins go back over 20 years. And our mission is to bring sea otters back to the Oregon coast, where they've been missing for over 100 years due to the maritime fur trade, but also in the process to basically protect and restore Oregon's nearshore ecosystem. Is threatened by a number of different issues, especially in this day and age of climate change. The origins of Alaka, as I mentioned, go back 20 years to David Hatch, who is a member of the Siletz tribe, and he was building a boat with his son Peter and looking for a name for it, and came across the word Alaka, which means sea otter in the Chinook jargon trading language. Hmm. And so, realizing that there was an indigenous word for sea otter, he was wondering, well, if we have a word, why don't we have sea otters in Oregon? And so he started thinking about that and brought together a informal coalition of folks to think about it with him, and hence formed the Alaka Alliance.
Got it. Chanel, talk about, as I understand it, looking at your website, you're sort of a triad of tribal, nonprofit, and conservation leaders. Talk about the importance of all three of those sort of groups coming together.
Of course. So as Jane mentioned, we were created by a Siletz tribal member, but we have multiple members of different tribes along the Oregon coast on our board as well. And so it's really important because there's, thousands of years, 10,000 plus years of indigenous peoples and sea otters living harmoniously on the coast together. So to bring back sea otters to Oregon is like bringing back a family member or a relative to a lot of these tribes. So that's obviously very important. Conservation groups, as Jane mentioned, our kelp forests are being hit by a lot of different factors, including climate change and missing a keystone species, which is the sea otter. And so a keystone species is a species that has an effect on its environment disproportionate to its abundance, or in other words, just a few individuals can have a big impact. And the sea otter is considered a textbook example of that.
Yeah. Jane, I'm curious about this. Full disclosure, I'm a Californian, and certainly I grew up and used to go out to the coast, and we could see sea otters in California. And as I understand it, in Washington State, there are sea otters. What happened? You talked about the fur trade. I'm just really curious why Oregon got seemingly so hard hit, the sea otter population, that there's this tremendous gap in the West Coast where they no longer exist.
Well, actually, the entire worldwide population of sea otters were almost decimated by the maritime fur trade, which took place between about 1750 and 1900. It's estimated that only about 1% of the world population of sea otters survived that fur trade.
Wow.
And there were very small populations left in Southwest Alaska and a very tiny population in Central California coast. Starting in the 1960s, there was effort to do reintroductions to bolster those populations, give them a better chance for survival. And because there was, first of all, a growing population in southwestern Alaska, and secondly, nuclear testing happening there, there was an effort to remove sea otters from southwest Alaska and translocate them to areas where there were historic populations, but no longer any. So the population in Washington, in Southeast Alaska, in British Columbia, those populations are all because of translocations that happened in the 1960s and 1970s. Similarly, in California, there was a small remnant population around Big Sur, and they were translocated. They are subspecies. They're the southern sea otters, the ones in Washington, Alaska, and British Columbia, and northern sea otters. There's some morphological differences, but generally they can interbreed, but they are considered distinct populations. In Oregon, there was also a translocation attempt in the 1970, 1971. About 93 otters were translocated from Alaska here. And over the course of 10 years, they disappeared. So, you know, some of it could have been just mortality from predators. I mean, the predators are pretty much sharks that might bite them, even though they don't eat them. Or they have very strong homing instinct. So they may have been trying to get back to Alaska.
I see.
So we're not sure what happened.
I see. Let me reintroduce you both to our audience. We're talking to Jane Beccari. She's the executive director. And we're talking with Chanel Hasten, who's the Director of Outreach and Community Relations for the Alaka Alliance. And we're talking about sea otters and the potential for sea otters to reemerge back to the Oregon coast. Chanel, it's been very exciting that a couple of sea otters, a few of sea otters, I'm not sure how many, seem to be visiting our coast from Washington. Talk about that. That must be very exciting for your organization.
Yes. So on Friday, June 28th, I headed out to Cannon Beach to meet with a wildlife volunteer named Tabea. And she had alerted me earlier that week that she thought she saw a sea otter when she was doing some black oyster catcher nesting survey. But I said, you know, if you can get photo or video evidence, because most of the time people say they see a sea otter in Oregon, and it's usually mistaken as a North American river otter, which we have lots of on Oregon. But so sure enough, she sent me a photo through one of her scopes, and it was in fact a sea otter. So I was very excited to be able to finally see one actually off of the Oregon coast for the first time in my lifetime. And so lo and behold, we made it out to Ecola Point on Friday, and I walked around a rock to see if I could find that sea otter. And sure enough, he was just sitting there floating, looking at me about 100 yards offshore, and I did a little dance and maybe shed a few tears of excitement and called Tabea over, and I took a video with my phone and realized that there was actually two sea otters together. And I'm glad I got that video, because one of those sea otters disappeared for the next several hours that we were just there observing. And so since then, with that photo and video evidence, marine mammal biologists have confirmed that those were both males, which is the most common occurrence we have on the Oregon coast, that come usually from the Washington population. Males swim down looking for other rafts of females. But unfortunately, we don't have a population here in Oregon, so they often just keep wandering or maybe get washed ashore with a shark bite wound. But it's common about 5 to 6 times a year for a deceased sea otter to wash up on our shores. Okay. But this is the first time that a pair that I have seen in history over the last 100 years have been seen here off of the coast alive.
Is it possible, or yeah, I want to hear from you, is it possible that visiting otters from either the south or the north, is it possible that sort of on their own they could reestablish a population off the Oregon coast, or are we talking about such a low number that seems doubtful?
Yeah, that hasn't happened in over a century, so it's pretty safe to assume that they are not naturally just going to migrate and repopulate an area. They are not a migratory species, so you really need females in the equation to obviously have reproduction success. And so that can only be done through a translocation effort. And there's been several translocations of sea otters across the entire West Coast. And 1/3 of sea otters today are because of successful translocation efforts.
I see. And
this is Jane. Okay, this is Jane. I was just going to add, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service completed a feasibility assessment in 2022, and they also concluded in that assessment that natural repopulation was highly unlikely because there's also geographic barriers that would be difficult for sea otters to get beyond. And as I mentioned earlier, shark bites can be lethal to sea otters. And so those two threats make it unlikely that we'll have a natural repopulation here.
Jane, I want to stick with you for a second. You know, boy, I imagine it's quite an undertaking, but perhaps you could lay out what translocation of sea otters to the Oregon coast, boy, what would that look like? How would it be undertaken?
Well, that's something that we're working on right now. We're working with regional partners, so those partners in Oregon and California, along with some experts up in Washington, about all the different logistical and other considerations that need to be worked through before this would be possible. To be clear, the Alaska Alliance would not be the organization that would physically move the animals.
Okay.
The sea otters are under the jurisdiction of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and so they are a partner, but it is their decision, and it would be their action to actually manage a translocation effort. However, organizations like the Alaska Alliance and other research partners and aquaria and zoos that have a lot of experience with different elements of both moving animals, caring for animals, considering what sites are appropriate, where there's adequate food resources, all those elements need to be thought through before we would be able to initiate an effort in Oregon. Because there have been successful reintroductions of sea otter, there is a lot that's known. But, you know, Oregon is not California, Oregon is not Alaska, not Washington. So the Alaska Alliance in 2022 completed our own feasibility report that looked at the Oregon coast and looked at habitat conditions, food resources, the history, what's known about when sea otters were here, looked at legal and other socioeconomic considerations so that we have a good understanding of where areas here might be appropriate for sea otter reintroduction and what information gaps we have. Okay. So right now, working on filling some of those information gaps, we're working with engaging communities and stakeholders, people who care about sea otters coming back, people who might have concerns. And that's all part of the process of setting the stage so that when a decision is made to return sea otters to Oregon, it can go as smoothly as possible.
Okay. Chanel, you both have talked about this, but I want to kind of, you know, expand upon this, because obviously sea otters coming to Oregon, That's a benefit, obviously, to the global sea otter population. But again, talk about how our ecosystem, our coastal ecosystem, would benefit from the return of a native species like sea otters.
Definitely. So as I mentioned previously, sea otters are a keystone species. And so they ultimately graze on lots of 100 plus different invertebrates. And one of those is a sea urchin. And right now, sea urchins are lacking predators along the Oregon coastline. And so that means that these urchins are just grazing upon kelp forests, our bull kelp forests off of the coast, and nothing is keeping them in check. So there's a huge imbalance, and it's leading to what's known as urchin barrens, which is a significant reduction in kelp, which serves as crucial habitat for many marine species. And so by controlling these sea urchins populations, they help maintain healthy kelp forests, which support a wide range of marine life, including fish, invertebrates, and other marine mammals like our gray whales. And this biodiversity is essential for resilience and productivity of the ecosystem. And to hit on a climate change aspect, kelp forests are highly effective at sequestering carbon dioxide, which helps mitigate climate change. And so by maintaining these forests, sea otters indirectly contribute to carbon storage as well.
Okay. Okay. Let me reintroduce you both to the audience. We're talking to the Alaska Alliance, which is working in conjunction with other organizations to try and return sea otters to the Oregon coast. We're talking with Jane Bakari and Chanel Hasen. Jane, what might be some of the challenges or impediments to translocating otters to the Oregon coast? Could there be regulatory hurdles as well as just, I'd love to hear, are sea otters a particularly sensitive species? And so, you know, translocating them might be more difficult than trying to translocate another type of species?
So it's legally feasible.
Okay.
So something that both feasibility reports by Alaska and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service determined. Because the southern sea otters in California are listed under the Endangered Species Act as threatened, they come with a certain level of protection that has to be worked with if you're going to use those animals as source animals for translocation. And all sea otters are protected under the Marine Mammal Protection Act. So there's federal regulatory protections for these animals that certainly influence how, where, and how you can do a translocation effort. Similarly, there's public attitudes and perceptions that, I think most people think, oh my gosh, sea otters, everyone wants them back. Mm-hmm. But there's really some concerns among some of the fishing community about what the impact might be on especially commercial shellfish. And so we're looking to better understand if or what impacts could happen using very robust modeling that is not quite ready for prime time yet, but that will be used to help determine sites and numbers and be able to be predictive of what could happen, if anything, to shellfish resources. In Oregon, we're fortunate and we're not, in the sense that we have a pretty linear, we have a coastline that doesn't have a lot of shallow bays and coves and nooks, which means that the commercial crab fishery in particular fishes largely offshore of those shallow areas where sea otters might be present. At the same time, it means that our coastline will not support tens of thousands of sea otters. We don't have that type of habitat. So it's different than Alaska in many ways, but it also means that potential conflict between commercial crab fishery in Oregon and sea otters is likely to be minimum, if any.
Okay. Chanel, I want to ask you, as we close out here, I wanted you to kind of encapsulate what it means to have these native species coming back. I realize it's fits and starts and it can be challenging, as we just talked about, but just philosophically, you know, how does it make us better?
Well, personally, for me, as a marine biologist and someone who grew up loving sea otters and going to Cal State Monterey Bay for my undergrad and working with sea otters at the aquarium as a volunteer, just seeing that those two sea otters on Friday off of the Oregon coast, it was extremely moving and touching because I've been working for the Alaska Alliance for 3 years. And that was the first moment where it's like, this could be a reality within maybe 5 to 7 years to see a raft of sea otters off of our coast.
Jane, last question for you. You know, if somebody listening to this wants to somehow get involved and help in this effort, what can they do?
We have a fabulous website, so I encourage folks to take a look at it. There's a lot of excellent information on it. We have events, a lot of them on the coast, but also throughout the valley. And so come join us at an event, learn more about sea otters, learn more about our marine ecosystem. We're always open to folks supporting us too. So that's, you know, if you want to make a donation to the Alaska Alliance, it will go towards our efforts to both build awareness and fill the information gaps so that we can bring these animals back. But I think just understanding, you know, the more that the public and Oregonians understand the role that a keystone species like a sea otter plays in the broader habitat, I think it's it helps raise support and awareness for making sure that we have a resilient coastline that everyone can enjoy and that will be something that will be here in perpetuity for future generations.
Great, great. Well, very exciting, and I wish you both and the entire organization a lot of luck. We've been talking with Jane Bakary. She's the executive director, and Chanel Hasen, the director of outreach and community relations for the Alaska Alliance, talking about the possible reintroduction of sea otters off the Oregon coast. Really, thank you both for coming on and talking with us.
Thanks for the opportunity.
We appreciate it.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. School is out for summer, and for many parents, that means struggling to find things for their kids to do. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear from both the cities of Eugene and Bend about camps and youth activities that parents can still access and sign their kids up. I'm Michael Dunn, and this has been Oregon on the Record from KLCC. Thanks for listening.